If you'd open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll look at five little verses, two in chapter 6 and two in chapter 7. We've entitled this message, "Slave is Our Highest Privilege." We have been bought with a price as slaves of Christ. Listen to God's word. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, "Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. This is a passage that we need, that can change our very lives and help us with our identity and our personal relationship with Christ, perhaps like no other. Father, teach us about one little word in your word, and that's this word, slave. Some translations have servant, others have bondservant. But Lord, teach us what it means. Teach us that it is our highest privilege to honor you. We belong to you. You bought us with a price. And for those that don't know you, draw them to yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The truth of Christ's glorious gospel that is set forth in the scriptures is that we're free from the law of sin and death. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And Paul continues, as we just read, saying to us, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And further in 1 Corinthians 7, as we read in verses 1 to 24, 24 verses there describe what happens when you're saved in your relationships. Now, there are more than this, but he speaks to us about different human relationships and how they work when we get saved. He speaks to us if you're married to a non-believer. What do you do? If you're a virgin, what do you do? What do you do if you're a married couple? What do you do if you've lost your spouse? Should you remarry or not? All about relationships. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7, 21 to 23, "Were you," and here's this word we're going to talk about today, "were you a doulos?" There's only one Greek word for slave, only one. It's doulos. The plural is douloi. And if feminine, it's doula. And some of you know what a doula is. That's a servant person that helps you prepare as a husband and wife for the birth of a baby. Or sun doulos, which means a fellow slave. It says, "Were you a doulos or a slave when you were called? Don't be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a doulos, a slave, is a freedman of the Lord. But as the front of your bulletin shows you, likewise he who was free when he was called is a doulos, a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become douloi, slaves of men." It's only recently that, as I've read the scriptures, I've noticed over and over and over that particular Greek word, and I've thought more about it. And this week, I've been overwhelmed with a sense. You've got to preach on it. And so I'm preaching on it today. It's a word that is exceedingly difficult for translators to call it what it is, because there's only one Greek word for slave, and it's doulos. Most of all the translations use the word servant or bond servant. And the reason why they do is because of the terrible connotation that slavery has in our minds. When we think of slavery, it's a very difficult word. Doulos is precisely, accurately translated into English as slave. It means to be owned by someone for a lifetime. It's found 127 times in 119 verses, and 66 times it is the Greek word doulos in the masculine. It's used in the context of human slavery, which was way from the start. In ancient history, it was there. Very common in ancient history, on down into the ancient Roman Empire. Hundreds of years, as you know. And slavery is one of the dark spots, a terrible smudge on American history when we study our past. In America, slavery was unspeakable. Torturing, killing, abusing, separating families as property. It doesn't matter, though they're people. Separating them. What a dark shadow. And we rejoice that the slaves were freed by the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865. We praise the Lord for President Abraham Lincoln, who stood against the evils of slavery and then was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth shortly after it happened. Our nation fought one of the bloodiest of all wars, the Civil War, as the North against the South tried to determine if slavery could remain legal or if it must end and end immediately. And yet, though slavery has been a sinful and evil practice down through history in all the nations, the Lord inspired the word in His holy word to be used over and over and over and over again, because He's a different kind of master and we're a different kind of slave. We are love slaves of our Lord. And if you're not, you're a sinner who is in spiritual slavery to sin. So whether it's doulos, doula, douloi, or soon doulos, you can be a spiritual slave to sin. And we all were born as spiritual doulos in sin. That profound truth is foundational then towards understanding the redemptive work of Christ, the gospel story. God reached down in love through His Son Jesus. He set our souls free. He gave us the gift of faith, and we're saved from the bondage of our sin. We're ransomed by Jesus' blood. We're bought with a price so that we could glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We're called doulos of God. And if there's any Greek word I'd like you all to learn before we're done today, it's just doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. D-O-U-L-O-S. Doulos. It's interesting that this is such a difficult word. In fact, I don't have any harsh words to say about people that translate it servant or bondservant. They're all pretty close. But I can tell you that Paul, Peter, James, and Jude, and so many others in Scripture talked about their connection to God as first being a doulos of God. This week I asked our secretary, I asked her to print this from the ESV. And so she did. And she brought it in. I looked at it and I said, "That's not right." And she says, "It's right in my ESV." And then I looked at one and I looked at another and I realized that the one I use on Wednesday night is a 2007 ESV, and the one she was using was a 2011 ESV, and they changed the word from slave to bondservant. And so I decided to get online and see if I could find out anything about that, and they had 12 translators that were together, and very civilly and kindly but firmly, they had the reasons. The people that had the facts were three. The people that got the vote were nine. The people that said it's precisely the word slave, but I remember one of the men, one of my son's Nathaniel's professors at Phoenix Seminary. And he said, I believe that the translation of slave, though it is precise, is an unredeemable word. And it voted 9-3, and they changed it to bond servant. Well, whatever word you want to call it, bond servant, servant, or slave, it's in the Bible 127 times. It must be important. And because of that, I couldn't get away from it this week. I kept thinking of who I am and who you are as born-again Christians, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. What does it mean to be blood-bought, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20? Most of us know the difference in a slave and a servant. And it hinges on legal ownership. A slave is owned by someone and serves his master because he is owned. A servant is not owned. He works voluntarily, and he can stay or leave his work when he chooses. If he doesn't like his employer, he can go to another. No matter what our birth or heritage or vocational standing, our financial situation, our political leaning, whatever it may be, only the truth of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can set us free. And as a disciple of Jesus, we are set free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer condemned. We're called as a disciple to holiness. We're disciples set free from bondage to the world, to mammon. And that's more than just money. That is to the evil one. We're set free from the constraints and the controls that unsaved people live under. You and I, when we were saved, were freed from the slave market of sin. We were saved from Satan. We were bound. We were hell-bound. We were hell-bound sinners. But he bought us back. We daily honor the Lord who bought us with his own blood. And we remember Jesus' words in John 8:34, where he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin or practices sin is a slave to sin." In John 8:32 and 33, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth," thank you, Scott, "the truth will set you free." God's kingdom, in some ways, is the upside-down kingdom of God. It's where the calling of God shames the wise, as God chooses the nothings and the nobodies of this world, where the last will be first and the first last. And he says in 1 Corinthians 7:22 and 23, that if you were in slavery when you were called, you're a freed man. And if you are free when God calls you, you're his doulos, his slave. Now, whatever he means, and whatever translation you want, it's fine with me. Bondservant, servant, slave. But what he means, I believe he has led me to speak to you about out loud today. What does it mean that you and I are a doulos of God? What does it mean? And I want to give you five descriptions of a doulos that will clarify our identity, that will sanctify our identity, and will explain understandably who we are in Jesus as his slaves, his bondservants, his servants. What are these five biblical characteristics that describe our personal relationship with him? First of all, as God's doulos, he has exclusive ownership of us. He has exclusive ownership of us. This ownership of us as God's slaves, bondservants, or servants is all over the Word of God. We read about it in 1 Corinthians 6. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body, which is God's. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Paul adds in Romans 14:8, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." We belong to him. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, "He was free when called as a slave of Christ." Isaiah 33:1 says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We read in Romans 8:15, however, that people can mix up what slavery is. And we even have a verse warning us about it. We read in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to send us backwards into fear. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So what Paul is basically saying, though he uses the term slave, doulos, many times, he says it's not the slavery you know about. It's not the slavery that you've seen in the Roman world. Don't be drawn back into fear. If anything I say today makes you be drawn back into fear, don't listen to it. That's not what I'm preaching today. Any idea like that would take us backwards. Now, there are 30, probably, some would say 20 or 30 established English translations. And only one of them, it was a translation by a Greek scholar by the name of Edgar J. Goodspeed in 1935. Every time, 66 times, the word doulos is there, it's always slave. Other than that, every other translation says either bondservant or servants. So don't think that this is something that's easy. I'm sharing it with you because I want you to know what we are in Christ. And this week, do you ever feel lonely when you're getting ready to teach and you say, Lord, is anybody else out there in Radio Land seeing this? So I went online and looked around and I found a fella you may know about. And he's got many messages on it. And I thought, well, bless his heart. John MacArthur. Anyone heard of John MacArthur? He saw it, and he saw it clearly. It's right there. It was an encouragement, and I just give praise to God for him that I wasn't alone in this discovery of this word. The writers of the New Testament were not adverse or frightened or ashamed to take this designation of our personal relationship to Jesus as the first and the foremost connection. How do you know that? Well, listen. I'll give you the titles of our epistles. Many of them. Think of Romans 1:1, this great theological treatise. Paul, a doulos, a slave, or a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart to declare God's good news. Before he mentions apostle, he first says, a doulos. A doulos of God. Peter in 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a doulos, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. They knew what slavery meant. They knew what it meant to be a love slave and to want only to please their master. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We read in Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, that's plural, douloi, slaves of Christ Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a doulos of Jesus Christ. If you're trying to please man, you're not one of his doulos. You only have one master. Titus 1:1, we read, Paul, a slave, a doulos of God, an apostle of Christ Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus. He doesn't mention the fact that he's a half-brother. But he begins in James 1:1 saying, James, a doulos, slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, his brother, half-brother of Jesus. In Jude 1:1 said, Jude, a doulos, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother to James. Epaphras, in Colossians 1:7, is called a sun doulos, meaning a fellow slave with slavery. He is a fellow slave. And Paul adds in Colossians 4:12 that Epaphras is also a doulos, a slave to me. And Paul added in 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's doulos, his slave, must not be quarrelsome. Now, whatever you want to translate doulos is up to you and up to the translators. But I don't want you to forget who we are. We sing about it. We sing about it in our own hymnal. I could give you many hymns, but I'll give you the one I like the best. Morgan J. Clayton in hymn number 538, "Now I belong to Jesus." Have you ever heard of that? Jesus belongs to me. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. You know this song, don't you? You know the chorus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And one other song I just love. Daddy Spear, G.T. Spear, wrote it just before he died. And as he died, he sang his song just moments before. They were on the way in the emergency room, and he says, "I think this might be my last words. I want to sing my song." It's called, "He is Mine and I am His Forever." The first verse says, "God's amazing grace sent down from heaven rescued me from death and from shame, opened up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm His. Praise His holy name." Verse 2 says, "'Tis so sweet just to know I have Jesus with me. He'll keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I have eternal life." And the chorus is what you need. If anyone here is scared of death, probably all of us in some ways, why would he sing it just before he died? "Now I know that He is mine and I am His forever. He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross death's river. He will take the sting of death away." Aren't you glad that our Master takes away the sting of death? So first of all, as God's doulos, He has exclusive ownership of us. Secondly, as God's doulos, He has our complete and continual obedience and availability when we're His doulos. That means He can get us to do what He wants. Notice Ephesians 6, 5 to 8. "Slaves, obey your master. Doulos, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as doulos, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a doulos, slave or free." Now I want to just tell you, in the last 40 or more years in America, there has been a marketing of who we are in Christ. There's been a marketing, and you hear it so many places you begin to believe it. And what you hear is that basically when Christ sets us free, we're free to do whatever we desire. And we're going to get whatever we want. Health, wealth, prosperity. We'll find our own fulfillment or dream. We'll find our own purpose. Oh yes, God loves us unconditionally. But the promise that He'll fulfill every ambition, every desire, every hope, and every dream is not in the Bible or in the New Testament. Thank God there are songs that have been written in these last few years. I think of one that was written 12 years ago by Chris Tomlin. I know you know it. Songs that speak of us abandoning our lives and our hearts and our will and our obedience to God and God alone. In 2010, he wrote what it means to be a doulos for God. It's called "I Will Follow." I'm sure you know the words. I sing them in my sleep sometimes. You ever wake up singing a song? I've woke up singing this song. "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. I will follow you. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my side. High above my life. I will trust in you alone. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone. In you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you, there's life everlasting. In you, there's freedom for my soul. In you, there's joy, unending joy. I will follow. I will follow you. He has exclusive ownership of us. He has complete and continual obedience and availability. And I ask, is that true in your life? Can God ask you to do anything for him and you say, yes, Lord? That brings us to our third description of a doulos. As God's doulos, he has our devotion to our one and only master. I think of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He asked the most telling question about whether or not we really are his doulos, his love slaves. He asked in Matthew 6:46, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? It's oxymoronic to say no, Lord, to our master. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one, apparently who's a doulos, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. As a college freshman in 1963, I sang in the men's glee club. And we traveled all over Texas and sang songs. And one song would always make my eyes well up. And it always spoke to my heart. And began to teach me what it means to practice the Lord's presence all the time. It's a mark of the disciple. But that song is a haunting. It has haunting words. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and live me not. You call me master and obey me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. You call me bread and eat me not. You call me truth and believe me not. You call me Lord and serve me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. He also said in Matthew 6:24, and you all know this, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the evil one. So you say, well, what's going to happen when we get to heaven? We're the bride of Christ. We're the adopted sons and daughters. We're friends. Oh, we're all of these names that he's called us, and they're precious. But the first thing we will be when we're in glory, according to Revelation 22:3-4, is doulos. We read in verse 3, his douloi, that's us, his bondservants, servants, his slaves, precisely, will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on our foreheads. In heaven, we will be God's faithful doulos. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, we read, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And in Matthew 25:21, we hear, well done, good and faithful slave. Well done, good and faithful servant. He has exclusive ownership of us. He has our complete and continual obedience and availability. He has our devotion to our one and only master. Number 4, As God's doulos, he has complete dependence on him for absolutely everything. That's what the crucified life is all about, beloved. Our motto ought to be Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In our world today, we have a score of crutches we tend to lean on. And the hymn writers knew what we should lean on. I'm sure you know the song, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. How many of you remember Alyssa Klein, who became Alyssa Ertle? You remember her? She taught us songs of Lauren Daigle and sang a number of solos in our church. And one of the songs she sang is, I will trust in you. The words show we're completely dependent. Well, I'm not, well, you can't do anything. The Bible says, without me, John 15, you can do, right, Scott, you can do nothing. Lauren Daigle wrote, letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wondering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war. I confess my hands are weary. I need your rest, mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're on my side. Now these words are powerful. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. You know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. You are my strength and comfort. You're my steady hand. You're my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. He has exclusive ownership. He has our complete and continual obedience and availability. He has our devotion to our one and only Master. He has our complete dependence on him for absolutely everything. And last of all, as God's doulos, he has our submission to his loving discipline and our expectation of his promised rewards. Now, I'm not going to take away from Pastor Larry's message and speak about discipline. He's going to do that tonight. You can hear all about it. And he'll talk to us about the difference in discipline and trial, and sometimes they mix. But I want you to know, what is the crowning characteristic of a love slave? It is submission. Submission. Not only submission to Christ as our master, but submission to one another under Christ. How is that? Well, in Ephesians 5:21, he says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. In Ephesians 5:22 to 24, he says, wives, the same to your husbands in everything as to the Lord. He says to us husbands, he has a big lot to say. Ephesians 5:25 to 33, he tells us that we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church and be willing to die for your wife. And then in Ephesians 6:1 to 3, he says, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long. We're to submit. In chapter 6, verse 4, he singles us out as fathers. And he says, submit to me and quit provoking your children to wrath. In Ephesians 6:5 to 8, he says, slaves, submit to your masters. And he says, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, submit to your master in heaven and quit threatening your slaves or your employees. Let me tell you, kind of a miracle for me that happened this week. This week, Joanne put stuff on my desk, and I look at it. I don't keep everything. I put something in the circular file. We call it the Alyssa file because she got it started, and I have a box called the Alyssa box where we throw all the things away. And we started that when she was secretary, and it was just a way to keep whatever we needed where it needed to be. And I got this Bible study magazine, and I tossed it, and I was doing different things, and then I felt led to go back and take a peek at this thing. Never seen this Bible study magazine before. May, June, 2022. And I thought, what's biblical theology? I wonder what they've got. So I began looking through it. And God brought tears to my eyes. They apparently have something in this magazine called Navigating Tough Texts. It's a repeat every month, apparently, Navigating Tough Texts. This one is by Murray J. Harris. Now, Murray J. Harris just happens to be a lifesaver for me. What's he writing about? Why is slave the highest privilege of all? Thank you, Jesus. How do I know him? Because 2 weeks after I was married, on June 16, 1967, 2 weeks later, I was back in Deerfield, Illinois, in an efficiency apartment, living there with my wife, and I did something I wouldn't recommend to any newlyweds. I took summer Greek. I got 8 hours in 10 weeks. 6 days a week, 8 hours a day. It all adds up to 8 hours, and if you can put up with it. Who was my teacher? A brand new professor that had never taught a class before in the classroom. And he got me and about 110 others. And there we were. And I still remember that little bald spot, and he'd throw that kind of auburn hair back over his head. And he had sort of a gentle Ben look, and he talked really kindly. I still remember that beloved professor. He opened the class with prayer, and in a soft voice, he said words to this effect. This is going to be tough, but I will help each of you that want my help, and we will make it through. And we did. So in closing, I want to read a couple paragraphs of Murray J. Harris, the graduate of Cambridge University in England. He says, Paul's letter to the Christian believers in Rome is the flagship of the Pauline fleet. That's of all his 13 epistles. The apostle greatly treasured his special calling to be an apostle that came through the direct appearance of the resurrected Christ to him outside the city of Damascus. So we might have expected him to introduce himself right at the beginning of Romans as someone called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. But no, his chosen self-description is Paul, a doulos, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, Romans 1:1. Similarly, Peter begins his second letter, Simon Peter, a slave, a doulos, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1, and not an apostle and then a slave. Doulos is the distinctive Greek word for slave. It's unfortunately true that many modern English versions avoid translating doulos with modern English versions that use servant or bondservant. There are, in fact, 6 New Testament Greek words that can be rendered servant. But there's only one special word for slave, doulos. From their preference for it, then it's not fair. Is it not fair to infer that these two towering figures of Paul and Peter believed in the early church that it was the highest calling to be Christ's slave first, even more important than to be called his apostle? The last paragraph I'll read to you. But what is a slave? A slave is someone whose person and service belong wholly to another. In the case of Paul, Peter, Jude, and James, and others, all Christians, the another is our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the supreme price to redeem us, with the result that we're not our own masters, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. As Christ purchased possession, the believer is the exclusive property of the master. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord, Romans 14:8. And since our master is himself the Lord of the universe, Acts 10:36, slavery to him is a consummate privilege of love and joy, not debilitating drudgery. Apparently my buddy is still alive and at it. What have I told you today? I hope you'll never forget it. I hope it'll become a household word in your life. I'm a doulos. I exclusively belong to Jesus. He has exclusive ownership of me. He has my complete and continual obedience and availability. He has my devotion as my one and only master. He has my complete dependence on him for absolutely everything, because without him I can do nothing. He has my submission, even to his loving discipline, and my expectation of his promised rewards and rewards. And I want to close by saying, when I get to heaven, I know there are going to be crowns, crowns of life, five different crowns. We all want to get those crowns. But I'll tell you what I look for the most. Pastor Larry read it. I want him to look into my eyes and say, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." I want to be his doulos. I hope you want to be it too. Would you bow your heads? Would you bow your heads? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I will pray. Her name is what? Father, I do pray for Wendy as we close. She has had an accident. She's paralyzed from the neck down. I ask for your healing touch, the touch of the Master's hand. You're the Master. We come to you. None of us can do it, but only you can. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would seal your truth to our hearts. Help us to know, Lord, that here in this room, titles before our name, they're not that important. But what's really important is that with the Apostle Paul, all of us can say, we are one of the douloi. We are your faithful slaves. We're love slaves of the most loving master in all the world, who gave his son, our Savior, who bled and died and paid the price for us. Oh God, seal it to our hearts. Seal it to our souls. Seal it to our spirit. Seal it to our way of life. Clarify our identity. Sanctify our identity. Never let us get away from this explanation that we truly are your love slaves. And may we today act it out for the rest of our lives and practice your presence. Maybe you're here today and you haven't received Jesus. If you haven't received him, he's waiting for you. And you may allow him today to come in your life. He says if we repent, believe, and receive him, we'll become his. He says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made known unto salvation. Are there those today that would say, I need Jesus in my life? And I'll share a prayer and Christ will come into your life. Is there anyone today would raise a hand and say, I need Jesus in my life. Yes, sir. Anyone else? I need Jesus in my life. Would you pray this prayer? It's a simple prayer. It's not the prayer that saves, it's Jesus. But you're confessing with your mouth to Him. You don't have to say it out loud, but you can. It's up to you. Just say, Dear God, I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Live in me by your Holy Spirit. I won't turn back. I've decided to follow you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for buying me out of slavery. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, may grace, mercy, and peace, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the blessed presence of Christ, our risen and abiding Savior, make us faithful as douloi, bondservants, servants, slaves, love slaves for you until we see your face. Amen.